The morning discussion will be setting the mood for this South Indian pilgrimage and in general for pilgrimage. In America, there were pilgrims. That's what they called them anyways. Europeans that came to America to settle were called pilgrims. And we're coming from many different places. I'm surprised to see some of the people who are here from many different places. Some places here in India and some places far away. So whether you're here from India or from far away, pilgrimage, the implication of the term itself is you leave something behind to enter into something new. The leave something behind has to do with we're going to places where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon leaving Jagannath Puri and made his South India tour, we're going to go to those very places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to. We're going to be out of sequence for the first place only, for logistical reasons. Kumarahatta was the first place that Lord Chaitanya recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita went to, and we're going there tomorrow. And then he came to Simhachalam next, as far as what's recorded. Undoubtedly, there were other places that he visited, but these were principal places that he visited. So just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya's transcendental activities, his teachings, his exchanges with the devotees in these places, there's immense spiritual potency. Just to hear, what to speak of here in the places where those pastimes actually took place, it amplifies or magnifies the cleansing effect of those things that we'd like to leave behind, like in the material world. As we make our way towards the spiritual world. So similarly, hearing the potencies have both capacity, cleansing and awakening of our attraction for Krishna and our love for Krishna and our desire to unconditionally serve Krishna just by the very activities that we're going to be doing in the course of the pilgrimage. Anakulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. The teaching of the process of surrender is let go of those things that are not favorable to bhakti and accept those things that are favorable to bhakti. So this is another part of visiting these places and hearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. There are many very wonderful instructions of how to. Devotees like to ask how to questions. How to carry out your devotional service more effectively. So if you listen carefully, you'll hear nice instructions how to render your devotional service in an improved or an enhanced fashion. Part of that enhancement is he's moving the speaker. Part of the enhancement is what, and another is the mood. I'll give one example without naming some name. When we were in Jagannath Puri, one devotee took note of the fact that the prostitute that was sent by Ramchandra Khan to get Haridas Thakur to fall down, It doesn't describe that she chanted for those 3 days. She just heard Haridas Thakur chanting for 3 days and nights. From hearing Haridas Thakur chanting, she became completely purified. So, practical application point, one devotee said, was, I'd like to, every day when I'm chanting my rounds, hear for some portion Srila Prabhupada chanting his japa. And hear my Guru Maharaj is chanting for some portion of my chanting. Or just hear and not chant. Just applying something that will enhance your devotional life. Another devotee was sharing that they were appreciating some of the devotees, and we're going to hear further about other devotees who were very much inspired to write. They like to write, express in poetic fashion or some literary fashion their feelings. So to cultivate that quality, they're, because they're described, they're devotees that have that capacity, and they advanced in Krishna consciousness by applying that capacity in their spiritual life. So their plan was, in the course of hearing different prayers to the holy name or glorifications of chanting the holy name, something in that line, take note of them, memorize them, and in the course of each morning's japa, take intervals of time between rounds or something and absorb themselves in the thought of those glorifications of the holy name. And then over a period of time, perhaps something will inspire them and they'll write something that they'll write. If you're listening carefully, then you'll find there's instructions. In Lord Chaitanya's life, by his example, or by the devotee's example, or by his words, both his life and his precepts, there is wonderful instructions how to enhance and improve your devotional service. Overall, to gain affinity for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have increased our faith and our love and our desire to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, visiting these places that he went to and hearing his nice instructions, that's a desired outcome. Like, for example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to travel to Vrindavan, with many tricks the devotees were delaying and delaying and delaying, and finally he began his journey to Vrindavan. King Prataparudra accompanied him with his royal entourage and wealth and boats, and they made commemoration places where Lord Chaitanya crossed this river or entered into this town. We have that in the West, you know, George Washington slept here and he crossed the Potomac at this place and things like that. You probably have similar things here in India. But absorption in the activities of Lord Chaitanya, Bhaktisiddhanta in reverse did the same thing by he made a pilgrimage, as we're doing, the places in the 1930s, the places where Lord Chaitanya visited. And he established padapitas. He established little shrines with the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. We'll see those places, many of them. In honor of So taking part in pilgrimage is, it increases our faith and our love and our desire to serve. Lord Chaitanya and his mission and his devotees. Each of the places that we're going to visit have that distinction. They're places that Lord Chaitanya went, but they were also at the time he went there, holy places. That's the narration found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Lord Chaitanya went on pilgrimage to the holy places. The external purpose was he was looking for Vishwarup. But Kaviraj Goswami says he's omniscient. He knew that his brother Vishwarup was already gone from this world. So that wasn't his real reason. The real reason was purifying those places of pilgrimage, increasing his ecstasy and love of God through visiting those places and delivering people. And we'll find wonderful descriptions of Lord Chaitanya's delivering so many personalities throughout the whole of his 2-year tour of South India. So these are already places of pilgrimage, so we're like double, triple purification. That's the leave things behind and receive those things that are going to further our Krishna consciousness. And wherever we'll be, each of the places that we go, we'll be performing kirtan. It was a very, very nice yatra in Puri, having like really enthusiastic youth that are really absorbed in a quality way in the chanting of the holy name. So we have Govinda Prabhu with us also from Vrindavan. He managed to take a break from Vrindavan and come and join us. So we'll have very nice kirtan. So anticipate purification. And that part of the purification will be joyful. There's going to be another part of purification. You know, the austerities and the mosquitoes and the taking your luggage and putting it on the bus, taking your luggage and taking it off the bus, getting your hotel room and things aren't, you know, the way that they should be because it's just the material world and somebody was supposed to be someplace but they weren't there. There'll be inconveniences. That's another purification. And when one's on pilgrimage, one takes those inconveniences in stride, in fact takes them joyfully, because there's always some opportunity to please Krishna or satisfy Krishna in any circumstance. And if you're looking, you'll find that opportunity. The Sangha of Vaishnavas, when it's japa time in the morning, as far as your duties and so forth permit, chant together. And we do that over the period of time that we're together. You'll find that your chanting quality will increase. It'll be a very nice experience, and your chanting will improve just from that part alone. And there will be so many opportunities by design and by circumstance that will give you an opportunity to serve the devotees. And that's very nice. You'll hear probably a couple hundred times in the course of this pilgrimage in South India the significance, the importance, the emphasis of serving the Vaishnavas. Because we're entering an area where the teachings of Ramanujacharya and the presence of Ramanujacharya were very, very prominent, and this was a cornerstone of his teaching, as it is in our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching. So you hear it again and again, and you'll be given opportunity. So a pilgrimage like this is an opportunity. Persons who you don't even know, they're Vaishnavas, but you don't necessarily like know them. By the time we're done, it'll be like a happy family. We'll start to know so many people we never knew before, and it'll be very nice. But the medium is service. It's just part of what the pilgrimage is. There are children, there's older people, there's somebody will get sick, something will happen, somebody will forget something. So many opportunities for service. One other item I wanted to mention is developing Vaishnava qualities. Besides teachings and general purification, there's by hearing about and meditating upon and glorifying exalted Vaishnavas, the qualities of those Vaishnavas become our qualities. This is a very specific teaching of Ramanujacharya. In one of his most prominent writings, he describes the answer to the question, how to develop Vaishnava qualities. Pilgrimage is an opportunity for doing that. In the Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita and Nectar Devotion and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have teachings about there's qualities of a devotee. And amongst all those qualities of devotee, Nectar Devotion lists 26. One of them is foremost, Svarup Lakshana. And the others are Tatastha Lakshana, or marginal. Behind the one, the other 25 follow. You develop one very nicely, and by Krishna's mercy, the others will follow. And the one that's principal or foremost, essential, is exclusive attachment to Krishna. Krishna Eka Sharana. Complete Krishna Eka Sharana. Completely attached to Krishna, fully surrendered to Krishna. Of course, that doesn't happen without the mercy of a devotee of Krishna. But by the mercy of the devotees of Krishna, complete shelter in Krishna. And then the other qualities come. But drill down a little bit, and how do those other qualities come? Do they just like fall out of the sky like rain, and all of a sudden you're wet? You have nice qualities. To a degree, it's simply an act of mercy. Krishna decorates his devotees with qualities. But there's something for the devotee side also. And that specifically is what we'll be doing during this pilgrimage. Hearing, remembering, glorifying, speaking about, meditating upon. During the course of our visit to this South Indian yatra, you will hear descriptions of many devotees who are, as they say in the West, awesome. So listen carefully, and I'll even make a specific recommendation. As you're taking your notes or recalling, or something that you can take home with you, is see if there's one particular, even find one particular personality whose qualities inspire you very much. And follow this process that Ramanujacharya recommended. Continue beyond this yatra of hearing about that person, reading about that person, speaking about the person, remembering the person, reciting things that they wrote or spoke, assimilating that person's quality that you inspires you so much, and that will become your quality. It's a spiritual reality, how it works. That's how Krishna decorates his devotee with nice qualities, because Krishna has already decorated some other devotee with that nice qualities, and you're at the feet of that devotee saying, my dear, wonderful devotee, your qualities inspire me very much, and that quality will become your quality. Consider in the course of this pilgrimage. It can even be some particular way that Lord Chaitanya dealt with a circumstance, whatever it is that inspires you. Let that go more deeply and transform your heart. That's pilgrimage. When you go away from the pilgrimage, it's not just a memory, it's a changed condition of heart. A good principle to observe during yatras is the worldly katha. When you go back, you can do that if you need to, but while here, speak about the subject matters that you're hearing. Speak about Krishna. I mean, practical arrangements like, you know, where do we put our shoes and where do we wash our hands and, you know, practical things. But as far as possible, enter into a mood of just speak Krishna katha. When we were waiting for the train from Balasore to come to Vishakhapatnam, there was the train was delayed. Surprise, the train was delayed. So there was a group of men, they were taking advantage of that. They sat down and were playing cards right on the platform. And I was thinking of Kalidas. His activity was, he was always chanting Krishna's name as he was engaging in his daily activity, just always in between sentences chanting Krishna's name. And sometimes playfully, jokingly, he'd take dice and roll the dice and go, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So that's not what these men were doing. They were I didn't see any money being exchanged, but that's part of the program, is they play cards and it's amusement. It's just like making the brain dull while passing the time, as life, valuable human life, is passing. But no thought of Krishna. So even when doing your everyday things, increase chanting. Like the devotees in cleansing the Gundicha temple, as they made the human chain to get water from the Indradumna Sarovar, and the clay pots were being passed to get the water and bring the water back. All that was heard was Krishna, 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 Krishna. So that's if you become like really ecstatic, you can do it like that. But you know, in between, just the idea is leave mundane talk behind. Leave your cares and worries behind. Enter into the mood of Lord Chaitanya's wonderful pastimes. When going to the places that we'll visit, particularly in general, but also particularly when at these places, offer prayers to the deities or the great devotees or Lord Chaitanya, in exhibiting the pastimes that he was teaching to instruct us, to free us from our material condition, to show us the way of how we can be Krishna conscious and practice Krishna consciousness, offer prayers that those things may enter within your heart, that the mercy of the deity or the devotee in this particular way. Prayerful mood is always good, and particularly doing what we're doing, taking this yatra. Be eager to receive mercy and be eager to render service. Many things may happen, like the Houston devotees were sharing at the end of our Puri Yatra. They had one challenge after the next challenge after the next challenge, and some very scary things happened. Some persons hospitalized, sometimes locked inside their rooms in an unsafe place, and but each circumstance had an amazingly satisfying ending, and there was mercy involved. So each circumstance that we find ourselves, take it as, be eager to receive mercy. We've already had, I don't know if you mentioned this yesterday, we've already had some experience already, some personal belongings were stolen yesterday, right here from this room. So, well, I only see devotees, but somebody else had some other idea in mind. Our Radha Krishna was sharing that he attended the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra one year, and the next day after Rath Yatra, normally you see like shops lining both sides and, you know, garbage lining both sides. He saw hundreds and hundreds and thousands of wallets, empty wallets, all over the place, strewn all over the place. So when we're going on pilgrimage, keep your doors locked and keep your valuables safe, because it'd be nice to be able to take them home with you. Your passport. It's nice to have a passport if you want to get on the plane. We're going to be going to places that are not ISKCON centers. So we want to be respectful of other traditions and other places, others' ways of worship, and so on. At the same time, it's a great opportunity in this format of a pilgrimage of showing by example what the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stand for by our behavior, primarily how we interact with one another. People see that, and our attraction for the holy name, people see that. They don't accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the way that we accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That question was asked by King Prataparudra to Gopinath Acharya in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This exit, he was seeing that the wonderful Sankirtan and hearing from Gopinath Acharya the amazing qualities of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. And then he asked this question, why is it that great scholars and other spiritually elevated personalities, they don't accept Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the reply Gopinath Acharya gave was, it's only possible to understand him when one has received Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which means the mercy of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the brother-in-law of Gopinath Acharya, received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya because he received the mercy of his brother-in-law, who was a devotee. And how did he become a devotee? He received the mercy of a devotee. And so we're going to be going to a lot of places where people don't know about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if we can demonstrate by example nice qualities and enthusiasm, especially enthusiasm for kirtan, very powerful. The devotee that was guiding us in Puri reported he went back after we had left Gambira. He went back the next day just to check with them and see how everything went, because he noticed that normally they have kirtan when it's arti time. We were there when it was Rajbhog arti. Oh, the banging of the gongs goes on for a long time, really loud, like, you know, boom, 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 boom. And they just did it very little. It was purposeful. They were respecting our devotees. And at the end, the chief manager, he shared with me, and he shared later with our guide, very moved by the kirtan, and especially this nice Shachi Sutta Astakam composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in honor of Lord Chaitanya. They knew that they didn't need a song sheet. They knew the words. It's part of their culture, and that we were singing that which is part of their culture. And Madhavananda was sharing with me that people, whatever they may think about themselves and about others, including ISKCON, universally everyone appreciates the holy name, chanting of the holy name, regardless. Almost. In the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, I've noticed the 3 times that I've been there, each time when we come, they do their multi-gong program, running around. And so literally what they want to do is have us not chant Hare Krishna, because they chant something else and say you can't chant Hare Krishna in kirtan. But the devotees don't respect that, and so they've taken the counter. They just hit their gong so loud, it's like your eardrums are going to be spoiled, so you leave. But the other place where we went, Madhavananda was sharing this with me, the other place is where they were having that sitting down kirtan. We came in, 3 altars, Radha, Kanta altar, the deities of Narottam Das Thakur, those of you that are with us. The devotees have done the opposite. When they come into that place, gongs and, you know, many drums and in Hare Krishna kirtan, when that's not part of what they do. So we had a prior plan that we were going to chant something else, Govinda Jaya Jaya or Yasomati Nandana or something, so that they wouldn't be bent out of shape. With that exception, everyone loves kirtan, and they not only love kirtan, they love enthusiastic kirtan, and they love enthusiastic kirtan when there's dancing, and that's not something that they're accustomed to. They're accustomed to something far more, especially here in South India, something more sedate and ritualistic and so on. But if we're enthusiastic in kirtan, we'll be happy, and it'll be nice preaching. Their appreciation for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be elevated by that. Want to mention one more thing. While we're respecting others' traditions and beliefs and practices and so on, we should be careful not to get confused or doubtful about our own practices and beliefs and teachings. I was thinking about this. While offering respect, it doesn't mean that we abandon our own siddhanta and way of life. One example we're going to hear is when Lord Chaitanya visits Sri Rangam and he has his dialogue with Venkata Bhatta, the chief priest of Sri Rangam, while staying at his home for 4 months in the rainy season. And they have this very interesting dialogue about the relationship between Narayana and Krishna. So I won't go into that here, but there's another place that I will go into here where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it's very early in Adi Lila chapter 2, he wants the reader who may not be so familiar with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appreciate who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And what's the relationship between Krishna himself and Narayana? So he chooses to enter into that. That's like the background of the discussion. And he goes right away to Krishna's conversation with Lord Brahma in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, after Lord Brahma steals the calves and the cowherd boys. And he writes it as, it's not found in Srimad Bhagavatam like this, but it's Krishnadas Kaviraj taking the opportunity to glorify Krishna and thereby glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different than Krishna. Which means, as you hear this description, he's non-different than Lord Narayan, who we're going to hear very much about here in South India, because Ramanuja and his followers accepted Lord Narayan as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is from Adi Lila, chapter 2. The texts run from text 28 to 59. Narayana and Sri Krishna are the same personality of Godhead, but although their bodily features are different, although they are identical, their bodily features are different. Krishna holds a flute with two hands, and Lord Narayan holds the club, the disc, the conch, and the lotus. And then he quotes 10th canto, chapter 14, text 14, that becomes then, the rest is a commentary on this verse. So listen to this verse carefully. 10:14:14. O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not, therefore, my father, Narayana? This is Brahma, the creator of the universe, looking at a six-year-old boy and saying, are you not my father, the Lord of the universe, Narayana? Narayana refers to one whose abode is in the water, born from Nara, or Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, and that Narayana is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental. They are absolute and not creations of Maya. So he's speaking of the Paravyom, the spiritual sky, and in that spiritual sky there's expansions. The persons from whom they expand are Krishna, and each of the expansions are also beyond the reach of Maya. They're fully transcendental. Next text. After Brahma had offended Krishna by stealing his playmates and calves, he begged the Lord's pardon for his offensive act and prayed to the Lord's for the Lord's mercy. I took birth from the lotus that grew from your navel. Saying that to Krishna, little boy, with a peacock feather, stretching his left hand out with a lump of yogurt and fruit. I was born from your navel. Thus you are both my father and my mother, and I am your son. Parents never take seriously the offenses of their children, and therefore I beg your pardon and ask for your benediction. So Brahma wants to be excused on the basis that I'm your son. Little children may sometimes do naughty things, but the parents overlook those naughty things and excuse them. So please excuse me. Krishna said, "Oh Brahma, your father is Narayana. I am but a cowherd boy. How can you be my son?" Brahma replied, "Are you not Narayana? You are certainly Narayana. Please listen as I state the proofs." So he's going to make a little argument. You are my father. You are Narayana. I'm going to give you 3 proofs. So quickly. All living beings within the material and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you. For you are the super soul of them all. Nara Ayana, you are the shelter of all. They are born from you, for you are the super soul. As the earth is the original cause and shelter of all pots made of earth, so you are the ultimate cause and shelter of all living beings. Where do pots come from? They come from the earth. You don't get pots without earth. Similarly, you don't get living entities without the source of the living entities. So you are the source of all living entities. You are Narayana. The word Nara refers to the aggregate of all living beings, and the word Ayana refers to the refuge of them. You are therefore the original Narayana. That is one argument, one proof. Please listen as I state the second. Brahma is very intelligent. The next one is that the functions of the Purusha avatars are similar functions, but Krishna is the shelter of those Purusha avatars. And therefore, you are Narayana. You are the original Narayana. That's the argument or proof. The direct lords of the living beings are the Purusha incarnations, but your opulence and power are more exalted than theirs. Therefore, you are the primeval lord, the original father of everyone. The Purushas are protectors of the universes by your power. Since you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayana. That's a second argument. Now please listen as I explain the third. There are countless universes, material, and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas, spiritual. Both in the material world and in the transcendental world, you see all the deeds of all living beings, past, present, and future. Since you are the witness of all such deeds, you know the essence of everything. All the worlds exist because you oversee them. None can live, move, or have their being without your supervision. You oversee the wanderings of all living entities for this reason. You are the primeval lord, Narayana. And Prabhupada explains in his purport that as Supersoul, in the material world, Supersoul is Maya Dukshena Prakriti, overseeing everything. And living entities are being moved by the machine of the material energy, which Krishna is overseeing. So their existence, their movements. And similarly, in the spiritual world, there's no Paramatma feature, but the Lord is directly observing and permitting and sanctioning whatever happens in the spiritual world. Mukunda. So there's his 3 proofs. Now Krishna says, "Brahma, I can't understand what you are saying. Lord Narayan is he who sits in the hearts of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karana ocean. Brahma replied, what I have said is true. That same Narayan who lives in the waters and in the hearts of living beings is but a plenary portion of you. The Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shira Dakshaya Vishnu, forms of Narayana, all create in cooperation with the material energy, which is your energy. In this way, they are attached to Maya. These three Vishnus lying in the water are the supersoul of everything. The supersoul of all the universes is known as the first Purusha. Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul or aggregate of the aggregate living entities, and Shira Dakshaya Vishnu is the supersoul of each individual being. Superficially we see these Purushas have a relationship with Maya, but above them in the fourth dimension is Lord Krishna, who has no contact with the material energy. Although these three features of the Lord directly deal with the material energy, none of them are touched by it. They are beyond illusion. This is the opulence of the Lord. Although situated in the material nature, he is never affected by the modes of nature. Similarly, those who are surrendered unto him and fix their intelligence upon him are not influenced by the modes of nature. You are the ultimate shelter of these three plenary portions. There is not the slightest doubt that you are the primeval Narayana. The source of these three features is the Narayana in the spiritual sky. He is your the last expansion. Therefore, you are the ultimate Narayana. So, this is our teaching from Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we're taking darshan of Lord Narayana and associating with the devotees who are worshipping Lord Narayana, we don't have to have an arm wrestling match with them about, who's stronger. You're stronger or we're stronger. We don't do that. We're respecting. That's their worship. And there is scriptural authority for their worship. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months in the home of Venkata Bhatta, and he didn't get into arm wrestling. We're not going to either. But at the same time, we should be very clear about what are our teachings, why we have convictions the way that we have them, why Lord Chaitanya was so dynamically glorifying worship of Krishna, exclusive worship of Krishna, and the followers of Lord Chaitanya similarly. Haribol.